Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Luke.
All right.
Oh, is that what it's going to be, is it? It's Monday morning, and we are recording a Luke and Pete show. I'm happy-go-lucky Donaldson, and I'm joined by Misery Guts Luke Moore.
It's a role reversal.
It's a flip reversal, people. How are you doing, Luke? You all right?
Pretty good. What's going on?
Just recovering from the Football Ramble live shows over the weekend.
There's 450 of them to go, mate, so you better get used to it.
It's weird. I mean, I'm not saying it's a high-octane show or nothing, but after the show, I'm fucking rinsed, mate.
Yeah, it's mentally draining, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great fun.
I mean, I have a run around on the stage and stuff, but yeah. I mean, that shouldn't really. It lasts for exactly 1 minute and half a minute.
Yeah, and you don't actually run the whole time.
No.
What I've noticed is this idea you have, which is brilliant, even two shows in now, you're already bored of it.
I'm not bored of it. I'm just tired.
Tired of it.
Tired.
What else have you been up to apart from that? I mean, of course, you did your textbook thing on Saturday night where you didn't want to have a beer with me after.
I had beer. The thing is, I had beers with you. I was in the same place having beers for 2 hours after the show. And I did a show with you and I spent 3 hours before the show. So when is... It's on your terms, isn't it, really?
I want 24 hours straight with you. And that's only then will I be sated.
Jesus. I mean, we are going to be doing that, I guess, in Liverpool to Northampton, won't we, this Thursday?
Only then will the bank be full. What have you been doing apart from that, anyway?
Just recovering from that, really. Did a bit of work on Sunday when I was very sleepy. On Rock and Roll Football, on Absolute Radio, I announced all the Scottish fixtures that were kicking off at 3 p.m. that afternoon, which weren't kicking off for another week. I'm very aware that the Scottish listeners get very angry when I don't mention the Premier League fixtures north of the border. But I decided to read out their fixtures 7 days in advance.
Did the text console light up?
No, I got one tweet about it.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Fucking twat.
Yeah.
But though I did get brownie points from some wrestling fans for using the phrase "little bit of the bubbly."
What is that?
I think it's Chris Jericho in backstage having a drink of some champagne. And he goes, "little bit of the bubbly," and it was a bit of a gif that went around for quite a while.
Can you actually see it? Can you actually hear him say it?
Yeah, yeah. He goes,
"I'll find it."
Yeah, just literally type in "little bit of the bubbly."
Yeah,
and you will find a million different memes that have been modified. But "little bit of the bubbly." I think it's Chris Jericho. Certainly, he was CC'd in one, did it?
"A little bit of the bubbly."
Let's hear it again.
"Oh. A little bit of the bubbly." "Oh, a little bit of the bubbly."
I got a lot of time for that.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, a little bit of the bubbly.
So you're doing that on the...
Because I run out of ideas, because it's a far along show, and I run out of ideas after
what
a while.
At what point did that come in? Hour and a bit?
Yeah.
Like, 4 hours is a lot, isn't it?
Absolutely spent. Yeah.
You're doing that show on your own?
On my own.
I thought it used to be you and Ian Wright.
Well, he's busy.
Right, so he's doing other stuff now.
I loved working with Ian, right? He's a very giving man.
But there's
frequently exhausted himself because he's got so many engagements.
Yeah, but there's no replacement. They've just thought, well, Ian Wright's irreplaceable, so we're just going to crack on.
Just crack on,
he's Pete on his own.
I've got a balloon that I speak to, pretend it's Ian Wright.
What happens if a goal goes in the middle of a song then?
What happened in the Newcastle Leicester match is that two went in while I was playing the New Radicals.
Right, and you were surprised probably for the whole show, thinking, not many girls in Scotland this weekend.
And there's nothing from the borders, so yeah, never mind. Right. And that's why I'm unprofessional. Why are you unprofessional, Luke?
Because although I try really hard, I'm just not that good. Whereas right. You are good, but you just don't try.
Yeah.
I try really hard, but I'm not that good.
Oh.
And so that's why. But the reason I ask is because on my Friday night show, there's always a football match on Friday night.
Yes.
Whatever is happening, I'm under strict orders to interrupt and go straight over to the live commentary to get the goal as it breaks, because they're obsessed with breaking news.
So. Yeah. Imagine if I came in just as it was kicking off in Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, for example. Oh, yeah. There's been a goal at the King Power.
Yeah, but I love it because I get to do like a Jeff Stelling.
Yeah.
So, say for example...
Do you say, oh my God, shut your mouth, like McCausey on Big Brother?
No.
Oh my God, shut your mouth, there's been a goal at the King Power.
I'll do like on Stoke, Nottingham Forest on Friday night. I'll do, like for example, the Stoke scored the first goal.
Yeah.
And if I get in my ear, there's been a goal. Has it been a goal? I'll always do the old... Last we heard, it was 1-0 to Stoke, but there's been another goal. But which way's it gone? Simon Humphries, like that. So people who are listening get, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Oh, right. Okay.
No one's listening. But if they were...
It's gone to a third party. That's neither Nottingham Forest or Stoke.
Mm, exactly.
Oh, I got a bit of acid. Acid indigestion has just attacked my throat because I listened to my heart and went... So see how I converted that sentence from a shit pit to an exciting kind of... cul-de-sac there. I was in a cul-de-sac. I said the word listen when I meant eat, and I went, I listened to my heart.
A little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly. That's what's happening in my throat right now.
A little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubblings from the stomach.
A little bit of the
stop
bubbly.
This. Stop this.
Right in your throat. That's what it was.
I went to get, because I can't buy ranitidine anymore, which is my favourite antacid. Because apparently it's linked to cancer. And I was thinking, I've been chowing down on those for the last 3 years.
How many have you had?
It must be in the 50s now. Must be in the 50s or 60s.
What, are they sweets?
No, they're like really good Rennies that don't taste of anything. They just go down. Your acid ingestion is gone.
Yeah, it probably decimates your stomach line. That's
well,
why.
Apparently...
Scorched earth policy.
Apparently the way they make them, they can't discount some dodgy cancer-causing chemicals that are getting into the system. So that's annoying. So my favourite antacid is off the chart and off the menu.
You have to go back to Gaviscon, Matt. I remember the Gaviscon days.
Maybe I just need to stop eating shite food.
Yeah, I think
I had a curry last night is my point.
You're treating,
I never have a curry, I have a Chinese usually.
You're treating the symptoms, not the cause though.
Yeah.
What you need to do is not spend your entire life, adult life, chowing down on Gaviscon, Rennies and that stuff.
Mm.
You need to have a look at it and go, what am I eating that's making this happen?
Yeah, but it's drinking lager and eating bad food, isn't
don't
it?
Drink
I'm not
lager
stop
then.
Doing that. I like lager. I like a fizzy.
You should have grown out of lager by now.
What were you drinking on Friday, Saturday? You're drinking lager because that's in the fridge.
Yeah, because
that was
for some
rider.
Reason on the rider, someone's put 48 bottles of Heineken, which is the worst stout ever. No one even likes Heineken apart from you.
Is Heineken... No, I wouldn't say that's my lager. My lager choice is Stella, to be quite frank.
That's
but
even
no one's
going
to drink that. But the Heineken... Haven't they reinvented themselves with Heineken? Didn't they sort of say... Oh, was it Carlsberg who said that... Oh, no, it's Carlsberg who said they were the best beer in the world, but now they've gone back to basics.
Right.
They let themselves down by just kind of resting on their laurels, and now they're back in a weird kind of PR move.
I'm impervious to lager advertisements, so I wouldn't know, because I just don't really like it. So I'm much more, Pete, I prefer a juicy IPA.
A juicy IPA.
Anyway, listen, did you read today, this week, that Samuel L. Jackson's voice has been added to Amazon Alexa?
Oh, no. Why are they doing that?
I think it'd be more interesting, wouldn't it?
Would it? I mean... How old is Samuel Jackson now? He must be in his 70s. He must be getting on.
Probably is, yeah. I'd say he'd be about 70, I reckon.
So what's he saying? There ain't no motherfucking snakes on this Alexa.
He's exactly 70, by the way.
Oh, good news.
They've just added these. I was wondering when it was going to, because when sat navs came about,
yes,
people started putting Yoda in there, John Cleese as what's his name, Basil Fawlty, and all the rest of it. And Amazon Alexa's never done that. And I wondered whether that's because they were like, no, that's bullshit, we ain't doing that. And then they release a thing today or this week saying that you can add him as a voice, and he can actually swear as well.
Does he swear?
Yeah, but it's a bit novelty, isn't it? It's a bit sort
how
of kind
many
of novelty.
Words? How many words would he? Because that's a long recording session.
It's almost infinite.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of word, because he'll have to say every word, won't he? Or was it work in syllables? Or that's a really hard kind of like recording session. That must mean weeks.
Yeah. And he's 70, so.
And he's 70, so.
Don't get much payoff for that either. It's Nick Fury. He gets more enjoyment out of being Nick Fury, I think, than being Amazon's Alexa.
Who would you have as your Alexa voice? I'd have Bobcat Goldthwait.
See, he would be really satisfying. I'd quite like Brian Blessed, I think. But that would get annoying after a while, wouldn't it? It would get annoying.
No, I think he's got an authoritative, shouty voice, but I think I'd be down with it. My Amazon Alexa, I forget. It's always in view in the front room, but it's not plugged in. So I occasionally go, Alexa! And it won't do anything unless it's not cable plugged into it. They need a battery operated one.
I told you my granddad can't get us to work because he just keeps calling it Electra.
Electra, that's a better name.
I would train mine so that every time I popped a bottle of champagne,
a little bit of the bubbly.
I'm glad that you're enjoying that.
It's great.
Yeah. Did you see the new story that wasn't really a new story? People are trying to find out why all 90s computers were beige.
Yeah.
And apparently, anecdotally, it is stemmed from, because obviously all computers now are kind of black and all kinds of different interesting colours. And laptops are certainly black. But they had to get special dispensation from, I think, the German government back in the day, who had very specific rules as to how a workplace needs to function. You need to have natural light.
Like the Germans, isn't it?
Well, you need to have natural light and stuff like that. You need to be near a window and stuff. So you need, which is a good thing, really. You should have natural light when you're working in an office for 8 hours plus. But apparently back in the day, although there is no hard evidence, nobody can find references in the actual workplace, rules and regulations. But apparently all of the furniture, it had to be very neutral and very beige. So apparently that's where it comes from, and that's why all computers in the 90s were this horrible kind of like yellowy beige kind of colour.
I never really thought about that, but now you've mentioned it, I know exactly what you mean. Of course, Macs are like brushed aluminium, aren't they now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it changes all the time, isn't it? Remember those clamshell iMacs that were like kind of see-through and blue and stuff like that? I wish I'd go back to those times. Like that hard plastic. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But hard plastic, see-through,
it's
blue.
It's quite
stuff.
Breakable though, isn't it?
Yeah, not nowadays though. You can get some quite rugged plastic machines. Probably all rubber, wouldn't it?
There was a little bit thing doing the rounds on Twitter the other day about the US standard railroad gauge
in
the track deriving directly from the width of Imperial Roman war chariots and like people basically tracking the lineage. So the US width of a railroad track is this because of this back in the UK, and this is because of this, and traced it all the way back to the Roman times.
Yeah.
And but unfortunately it's much more on coincidence than a direct line of imitation. So whoever tried to trace it all the way back, it's not actually true.
Made some leaps.
And it's annoying for a couple of reasons. One, because that would have been a really cool story. And two, because I had it all laid out for an episode of Luke and Pete Show.
Oh.
And I don't really want to chuck lies out there purposely.
Yeah, are quite diligent with things like that.
More diligent than you doesn't make me diligent.
Well, whenever we're doing the ramble, if ever I hear you look down at your Mac and tap, 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 you're checking one of my facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got I'm not the ringmaster. People think Marcus is the ringmaster. I'm the one who has to sit here checking on you. I get facts wrong all the time though.
Yeah.
The people need to understand that if you tweet me saying, "Oh, you got that wrong," and think that that's fun, then you and I do hours and hours of broadcasting every week. Mm. So we do an hour a week on this. We do probably 2 hours a week on Ramble.
Mm.
I do an hour-ish on OTC.
Yeah.
I do an hour-ish on Ramble Meets, and I do 3 hours and a bit on TalkSport. So I do between 8 and 10 hours of broadcasting a week. That's a long time.
All right.
And there's going to be facts that I got wrong there.
Yeah. But, I mean, be like me, I do 2 hours on Ramble, 1 hour on Luke and Pete.
Yeah.
3 hours a night on Absolute Radio. 4 hours on a Sunday.
They don't, because songs.
It's 4 hours on a Sunday.
It's songs, though.
I could get my songs wrong.
You could do, yeah.
I could get them in the wrong order.
Yeah,
and I do Wrestle Me, and I do Abroad in Japan, and I couldn't give a shit about whether I get straight or not. Okay,
yeah.
So,
and you know what I do after a long week, Pete, when I've had like a really good week and I feel like I've worked really hard.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Stop it. I'm annoyed I got that aux cable for you.
Yeah,
it's my first mistake.
All right, listen. Let's go there, have a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll do some emails, and then that ad break we might have a little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The problem appears to be that we haven't got our photo ID to try and travel to Scotland, which, as far as I can remember, was in the British Isles. What can we do? We're utterly hamstrung by these thick-headed people wearing orange suits.
What a cunt.
And also, that'll be outdated soon, because when Scotland leaves the British Isles, it won't be relevant
anymore. Yes, good point. Yeah.
Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Mm. Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is your email address to get in touch with us about anything we've spoken about in the first half there, or indeed anything that takes your fancy that you'd like us to speak about in the future.
Speaking of politics, see Gorvey turning up to Parliament pissed out of his mind.
Well, the thing is, I don't actually think he was. I think he's quite an eccentric fellow. Have you seen the image of, the thing of him clapping?
Yeah.
I think he's just got a lot of strange approaches to motor function.
Mm.
Honestly, I do honestly think that.
There are certain things that can impair your motor function, though.
You would know that.
He'd had a few heinies.
You reckon?
He'd slammed a few ramble
backstage. 48 heinies. Bottles of Heineken, please. That's the rider.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic stuff. Quick clarifications and corrections. I think it was Megan that emailed in last week about the KFC interactive video game. Yeah. Love story. Megan is not a member of the gaming PR press.
All right. Did you accuse her of being so?
I did. J'accuse Megan. But no, she's not. So there you go. So apologies for casting aspersions. though she did used to work for a PR company that did represent KFC briefly.
Oh, what? That's what? A coincidence?
Oh, money.
I don't believe her.
Money.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
One person who has contacted us through hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is Paul, who lists himself as being in Wellington. Now, I don't know if that's in Wellington in Somerset or Wellington in...
The Garden Cityton.
New Zealand.
Right, okay.
I hope it's New Zealand, but equally as valid in Somerset. He says, hi, guys, love the podcasts. Following from your testicle chat in episode 199, I wanted to provide my insight into the painful issue of testicular torsion. So this is 199.57, this episode. So it does get a little bit kind of hectic. You have to look at the list on your podcast app of choice to work out how long ago that was. And that is Pete's fault. Paul goes on to say, I can confirm that he says, as both a GP and someone who has suffered this, I have developed a particular interest in the subject of twisted balls. I can confirm that it is not unexpectedly bloody painful. Think having the sensation of being repeatedly kicked in the balls whenever you move. But not only that, the twisting can prevent blood from travelling back up the testicle. This causes the testicle to become swollen, and in turn, the swelling compresses the arterial blood supply to the testicle and can cause the testicle to become necrotic and have to be removed. It is therefore considered to be a medical emergency and needs to be corrected as soon as possible. This is done by cutting open the scrotum, untwisting the nut, and then stitching both of them to the inside of the scrotum to prevent it happening again. Oh. All in all, it's not a fun experience. Although in my case, it did get me 2 weeks off school as a seven-year-old. Plus, I got lots of guilt-related presents from my parents who thought I was making it up to get out of church. So that's horrific,
yeah,
but also at least insightful and interesting. And what it made me think of is that, you know, when you sleep on, say you fall asleep on your front and your arm's underneath you.
Aye.
And it goes dead. Mm-hmm. And you wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning, your arm is just dead. You can't feel it. It's weird. And it's kind of not as bad because you're still half asleep.
Yeah.
And you just shake your arm around and it kind of gets...
Shake it off.
What I'd like to know from the doctors in the Luke and Pete Show community is how long can you do that for before it starts to become a real problem? Because there's a guy, I think he's dead now. I'll just double check. I think he's dead now. But he is the guy from, and he recorded, he's a musical artist, and he recorded under the name, he's called Mark Linkous, and he recorded under the name Sparkle Horse. He died in 2010. I'm just checking here. But I'm fairly certain he had a very difficult life. I think he sadly committed suicide, and I think he had a problem with heroin for a very long time.
Loved Sparkle Horse back in the day.
Yeah, and in a London hotel, he passed out, nodded off on heroin, basically, with his legs tucked under him for such a long time that they lost all function. He could never walk again. Excuse me, or he couldn't walk properly, at least, anyway. And I think he was in that position for, obviously, a number of hours for it to happen. But I was thinking, if you were particularly tired and you fell asleep on your arm, you didn't wake up for 8 hours. I mean, it's a long time for there not to be blood flowing to your arm. So I wondered if anyone who's a GP or a doctor would know how long it would be before that became dangerous.
But isn't it like kind of... I mean, there's still function, there's still blood. I mean, I guess there's still signals going through. So it's not, there's still enough blood going there. It's just not enough to
give it a feeling.
To give
you reckon?
It a feeling.
You reckon?
I think that's the first thing that goes, isn't it? And then the tissue starts to necrotize and then, but yeah, 8 hours seems like a...
I just want time scale, mate.
I'd like to take my arms off when I sleep, to be honest. They're just a real pain in the arse.
Where do you put them normally?
I'm an right arm up underneath the pillow, left arm can do what it wants.
So I'm
kind of guy.
I'm kind of... Left arm, right arm on the pillow on my head like that. Left arm underneath on my stomach.
I sleep alone quite a lot, depressingly. I sometimes put my, because it's quite loud outside, I put my arm, my left arm over my head.
You don't
to
have
block
earplugs?
Out. I do, but then I can't be asked to reach behind me and grab some earplugs. That's how lazy I am. And I put my, what's that muscle? The
bicep
into my ear. To block out the sounds.
Just, mate, as part of your routine, just put your earplugs in.
It's not, who needs a routine? Sleeping's all relaxing, isn't it? I sometimes put on the Calm app. Have you used that before?
No, I've used Headspace.
Right. That's probably a similar thing, but it's just, it plays like music.
Rain and stuff like that.
Rain and music. And I think Moby's got a playlist in there. The Problematic Moby.
Yeah, but that's why I wouldn't be listening to that. I didn't even like Moby before it was problematic. Headspace is more of a mental health kind of app, but it is very good.
Is there's a Matthew McConaughey audiobook as well where he says, all right, you got ready to... Do some sleeping.
Really?
And he just talks to you. He goes, fix yourself at a river and let's all just get some sleep. You know?
Are you making this up?
No, honestly. He just yaps. Wow. He just yaps That's through the
so
whole
weird.
Thing.
It's really funny. It's quite quiet. Right? Obviously, I share a bed with my wife.
With my wife.
And whatever the position I sleep in depends on, obviously, what she wants to do. But where we live, it's quite quiet. But you do get, because we're in a terraced, kind of like maisonette flat kind of thing.
Right, okay.
You do hear people knocking about and there's kids around and stuff. So sometimes I pop the earplugs in if I need to. Mm. Also, you know, as anyone who's married will know, 6:30 a.m. every weekday, the hairdryer comes out. Not the Alex Ferguson hairdryer, the actual hairdryer.
Well,
so.
Like, because I have very thin hair and I think drying my hair with a hairdryer takes about 30 seconds. Girls, it's a mission, isn't it?
If you asked me to honestly estimate how long it takes my wife to dry her hair in
Hot
the morning,
dog.
I'm probably guessing in hours rather than minutes. So sometimes the earplugs go in if I don't want to wake up too early. I normally wake up about 7:30 every morning anyway, right. But if I need that bit of extra sleep. Like this morning I was particularly tired after the weekend. I'd have the earplugs in. Anyway, what email have you got?
Similarly, Lewis Sullivan says, I was stopped outside the Ramble Show last week in Hackney. We had a good time. RambleLive.com if you want to come down. To future gigs, a lad who had emailed in about a year ago about testicles. He'd lost a testicle.
Right. I laughed before I heard that bit. I wasn't laughing at you losing a testicle.
He lost a testicle. I think he might have damaged it at a fairground. That said, I had a couple of drinks and I can't really remember, but he was basically having a go at us for not reading it out.
Yeah, but people need to understand. And this
if I type in testicles into the search bar, that's easily 100 emails.
This is the thing. People need to understand from our point of view. I think there needs to be a bit of empathy from our plight.
Yes.
Some parts of our life, particularly when we do live shows, will be an endless supply of people afterwards coming up to us going, I'm the guy who emailed you about that time that the pervert down the bottom of my street smacked me over the head with an iron bar. Do you remember me? And it's like, no.
Sorry, did we not read that email out? That sounds brilliant.
Oh, that just happened to me.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so it's not easy to remember all the emails. I mean, if you look at in the Hello at Luke and Pete Show email box at the moment, we've got, I'm going to find it. We've got currently, here we go, 600, I think, and 55 unread emails.
Yeah,
so it's now just gone up to 668 unread emails.
But the unread emails are clearly spam. We read every email. We just don't. It's the spam emails that we don't read.
There's some I haven't got to yet.
We've got a lot of emails.
One here contains the word dildo and butthead in the subject.
Nice.
So I've got to build up to that kind of email. Carry on.
Blundering NHS doctors chop off 62-year-old man's testicle. Lewis came in with this one.
But is it that bad? He's had it for 62 years.
An unnamed man was booked in for a 30-minute procedure to drain a lump in his testicle at Furness General Hospital in Barrow, Cumbria, but it got infected and the whole thing was chopped off. Well, I mean, if it gets infected...
We talked about this before. You said you wanted 20 grand to have all your testicles taken off, didn't you?
Did I? That seems low.
What's your price now? We're a couple of months down the line, so therefore they're less effective.
Older, aren't they? You wanted a lump. Cutting off, and you got a lump cutting off, so
slightly bigger. Imagine the surgeon said that afterwards.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, mate. Imagine he walked in and went, "Hi, everybody."
Oh yeah, he left a they left the drain in the testicle for 24 hours, which became infected. But I mean, what if they couldn't? You know, new fluid arrives; it's got to come out somehow.
You're not a medical professional, Pete.
I'm on the side of the NHS in this one, to be quite frankly. Yeah. So there we go. If you'd like to get into the shot. Hello at lookingpicture.com.
What about this from Matt? Says, hi guys, love the show. First time emailer. I'm emailing after listening to last week's episode when you were talking about memes.
Memes.
The thing is, when Luke, when talking about a meme, you went on to describe a short video. I was under the impression a meme could only be a picture, but I'm happy to be proved wrong. Matt.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, probably just a picture. So a little bit of the bubbly. Oh, I know you're going to...
A little bit of the bubbly.
I saw you
tapping. That's
away.
A meme.
Is that a meme?
231,000 views. It's gone viral. It's a
viral video rather than a meme, though, isn't it?
Ah, now we're in.
A little bit of bubbly.
So would it be would the gif of Vince McMahon tearing both his quadriceps be a meme?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, memes are repeated thematic triggers, aren't they? They're kind of like jump off points for jokes and references. So yeah, maybe images can only be memes, though gifs being soundless, being utterly unexciting, I would probably say that would be a meme.
So you know who invented who coined the term?
Well, Johnny Mimmy.
No, it's Richard Dawkins.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. In the 1976 book, The Selfish Gene, he talks about how it could be replicated, like obviously how evolution could be replicated within a culture. And the official definition of a meme is an idea, behaviour or style that spreads from person to person within a culture, often with the aim of conveying a particular phenomenon, theme or meaning represented by the meme. So I don't think it matters about the actual format.
Okay.
I think anything can be a meme, I think. So if something's gone viral and it's then used to describe something else, and you could probably say that my favourite gif is a little kid who's doing the old, he's got this amazing face and he's smiling and sort of smirking at something that's happened.
Yeah.
That's just like, that's really like a glorified emoji, really.
Yeah.
Isn't it? But it's a gif.
If there's one I'm thinking of, there's a lot of talk of digital blackface, a bit of that in it.
It's not. No way is it.
Well, people sort of use images of black people doing like, going, and it's...
but none of it's kind of overused. That's fine, I get that. But nothing about that gif is anything to do with the kid being black.
No.
In fact, when I described it just now, I don't even think I said he was black.
You didn't.
No, he's just a kid. He's got a really funny face because he's so happy about something. He could easily be a white kid.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's images of black people are used more than any other gif.
You know what I mean?
So it's overused. So it's,
okay,
it's not,
right.
Nothing. Your heart is pure.
It's
your
not.
Intentions are
pure. In this case, there's no kind of suggestion that it's in any way dependent on the fact that the kid's race.
No, I agree, Luke. Well,
anyway, this is a great email. I wanted to do this one. It's from Adam, who says,
Adam.
Hi chaps, I used to work in a KFC while studying at university, and naturally on breaks you were able to eat some of the food KFC prepared.
Nice.
Which sounds great, although it does get repetitive to the point of where you start making your own burgers and trying all the sauces on offer for the worst chips in the business. Yeah, they are the worst chips in the fast food business, I'm going to be honest there. So I agree with you, Adam. He says, before working at KFC, my order usually contains some of the gravy you mentioned a week or two ago. However, after learning the secrets of the gravy, I rarely touched it thereafter.
Right.
There are two types of gravy in KFC, one step and three step. One step is usually dished out when the restaurant has run out of gravy and needs more pronto. This is essentially gravy granules with water, chucked into the microwave, stirred around, and it's watery and fairly tasteless.
Yes.
I've never had that one at KFC.
Right.
I was surprised to read that. Three step gravy is the one that everyone raves about.
Yeah.
Have you had it, Pete?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Quite recently.
Yes, it's very tasty, but the process of making it isn't very dreamy. At the bottom of the fryers, there is essentially a sieve. And every time you filter out the fryer, all the fat, gristle, bones, and whatever else are caught. Having been fried for hours on end at around 300 degrees, it turns into a mush reminiscent of wet sand you probably find at the bottom of the sea, underneath like an oil rig or something. I've attached a picture. It's a horrible picture. First cooks usually take around from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. This could indeed be different depending on where you are, but hundreds of pieces of chicken will go through the fryer on a daily basis and it will only get cleaned out at the end of the day. The remains you see in the picture are then used the following day along with another bag of granules to make the gravy you love. After seeing it up close, I promise you I haven't touched it. The substance collected can be used many days in advance. Love the show, but please do get beans instead. See you in Leeds for the Ramble Live. That's from Adam. It still tastes amazing.
Edward Hodge also made that point about the gravy just being sieved up to nonsense. I mean, we're eating KFC. We're eating the chicken that's in that fryer anyway. I don't understand why that will be such a problem. I mean, because chicken gravy is just, you know, the essence in it. And so, like, I don't have a problem with this massively. I don't understand why it's a problem.
I really want you to try when my mum makes like a Sunday roast, the gravy she makes is unbelievable.
Mm.
It is unbelievably good. She makes it in the meat pan first.
Yeah.
And she does this thing. It takes ages. She keeps adding stuff. And then once it's ready in the meat pan, then only then does she pour it into a saucepan and then carry on cooking it.
I'd like you to taste my mum's gravy. You would not be impressed.
All right, that's enough for now. KFC gravy, that's the natural conclusion on this episode.
I like it.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with some more of this nonsense. We were going to pre-record Thursday, though, because we're going up to Liverpool to Ramble Live. RambleLive.com for tickets.
He said under the sea. I don't know why. Under the sea. That's no idea why.
Pool. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter.
I heard the word pool, obviously. Never mind. See you later.
A little bit of the bubbly.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.